The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John is our engineer-producer on the other side of the glass, and together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, November the 18th. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Fastest 2 months of the year, November and December, as we are zipping along toward 2020, and we'll be celebrating launching the first week of 2020. We'll launch year number 10 here with the radio project. So we've got 9 full years coming up, and we'll get into our 10th year at the beginning of 2020. All of our programs available on the podcast, buckmastershow.com. Last week here on the program, we had our guest Kevin Dahl from the National Park Service Conservation program that is celebrating their 100th anniversary. And Kevin had just been at an event down at the border in the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument, which was established by a presidential proclamation under the Antiquities Act back in 1937. And Kevin was outlining the destruction to so many of the giant saguaro cactus and the Oregon pipe cacti. And now we're hearing about at least 17 archaeological sites that could be wholly or partially destroyed by this continuing border fence construction. Several of those sites are listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and one of them is a United Nations UNESCO International Biosphere Reserve. To tell us more about it, Dr. Bill Doley is the president and CEO of the Tucson-based nonprofit Archaeology Southwest. Bill, how are you?
Very good, Bill. And Kevin Dahl is a good friend of mine, and I was actually at the same event down there at Oregon Pipe that Kevin was directing traffic as I turned into the monument down there. So,
yeah, I understand. You were one of about 300 people down there that were taking a look at it and not happy with what you saw.
Correct. No, it's. This landscape is it's a rich cultural landscape. Again, the Don Autumn have a deep history out in that area. Their salt trail would pass by the Quito Paquito Spring, and the Hiached Autumn, the sand people who had a territory that extended out onto what's now the Goldwater Range and covered that area all the way between like Ajo and the Rocky Point area. That's an area that you can't farm. And they had to be mobile. They had to know the land, its resources, and particularly its water resources. And so very logically, a place like Quito Paquito was an extremely important place for them throughout their history. So there's literally 12,000 years of evidence of human use out there. And the border work is a threat to, as you said, a substantial number of sites. And my understanding is that all of the standard environmental laws that apply when there's construction or other sorts of projects that could damage archaeological sites are literally not relevant out there. They've all been waived because
wow.
This is in the borderland. So
that area of the border, I understand, Bill Doley, is currently fenced, keeping vehicles from crossing the international border. But now we're talking about a new wall that will be 30 feet high, the 30-foot high fence. With is there a deep concrete footing as well?
Right. It's towering 30 feet slats of metal are held by being placed into a concrete footing that runs 8 to 10 feet deep. So, and to make concrete, you need water. So they're drilling wells along the borderline out there. I mean, there's been a few accommodations. The Park Service has actually been able to, I think, on their own nickel, to get their staff out there and map and actually even collect artifacts and information from areas that are right in the direct area where these heavy equipment is going to be going up and down along the border. But unfortunately, drilling is for water, for making the concrete out there. Those wells are going to be kept back at least 5 miles from Quito Baquito. So there's some, I guess, tiny bit of positive news in this, that maybe the destruction won't be as bad as it might have been.
The Quito Baquito Spring is the UNESCO International Biosphere Reserve. So
that's correct.
Could it be in danger here?
Well, again, there's still going to be this big concrete barrier. Wildlife and anything that moves over the land surface is not going to be going back and forth across that area, and it presumably could have an effect on the water, underground flow, and that sort of thing. There's the edge of the water there at Quito Baquito. There's sort of a dam that holds the water in kind of a pond, and a Google Earth measurement is that it's exactly 240 feet from the border, so it's very close.
Wow. Well, anyway, the work continues down there, and what's their timetable, Bill Doley?
Well, I asked that question too, and I get responses that they keep saying they're going to put on extra crews. They're trying to go as fast as possible. So all of the information that I've heard is that things are on a they seem somewhat disorganized, but they're moving fast. So,
Bill, tell our listeners about an event that Archaeology Southwest is putting on at the Loft Cinema. I think you've got something tonight, correct?
We do. This is an incredible photographer, a guy named Jonathan Bailey, who we've worked with for the last several years. A lot of his work has been in Utah, and he's got a new book out that is going to look at the rock art and, as he calls it, a vision of a vanishing cultural landscape. So the Loft Cinema has their large screen, so these will be gorgeous photographs projected onto the large screen, and Jonathan will take us through that landscape and both its beauty and the things that threaten it.
And you're calling this Archaeology Cafe series. I guess it's going to be what, the first Tuesday of every month?
Yeah, normally we're on the first Tuesday. This is kind of a special that we squeezed into November, but our first one for this year, we've actually been doing this in Tucson. This is, I believe, our 11th year. But this is a special series that focuses on experiencing places of the past. So we've chosen places where you, as the person in the audience, will get introduced to a place that an archaeologist has worked extensively and is deeply connected to. So they'll kind of share their enthusiasm of place with you. And then it's what our hope is that you will go on and when you're traveling across the Southwest, figure out a way to make a little side trip or just plan a special trip to visit that place and experience it yourself.
You've got December 3rd. That'll be the Pecos National Historical Park in New Mexico. Bill, is there a place to go to find out about all of the topics and the times?
Yes. Our Archaeology Southwest's website is www.archaeologysouthwest, all spelled out, .org. And we have an events page that's easy to find right from that landing page there. So, yes.
You do a lot of good work. I'm a member of the Southwest Archaeology Today, which is that comes with membership to Archaeology Southwest.
Yeah, well, that's a free thing that you can sign up on our website, and you get our Archaeology Southwest magazine.
I do get the magazine. Yes, it's a beautiful magazine that comes out. I think every quarter you do it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Really nice. Bill Doley, always a pleasure. Bill is one of our 24 or so regular contributors to our program, and of course, his expertise, archaeology. Bill, thank you very much. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bill Doley with us talking about what's going on down at the border. Speaking of our contributors, Shelley Fishman will be coming up next. Shelley is our financial consultant. But right now, I want to talk about Thanksgiving next week. Wow. Mona's Danish Bakery. This is the place to get in those pie orders and the roll orders. We were talking yesterday on the show about Steve, the chief baker and owner, has put out his lineup for the pies. Here we go. Pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan. John, open Shelley Fishman's mic here real quickly. I'm going to get our vote from, we did this yesterday with our guests. Okay, Shelley, you heard the list. What is your choice?
Pumpkin.
I had a feeling you were a pumpkin guy. Dinner rolls, Steve is suggesting challah bread.
Challah
bread. Yeah, would be nice.
It's an egg bread.
On the table. So that's a good idea. And of course, we have to mention, gladly so, the Danish Kringle, because Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle. They're doing, here you go, Shell. Traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan.
Gosh.
Think you're going to say pecan?
I'm going to say pecan.
I know. I got it. All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Check it out. It's Thanksgiving time, busy time at Mona's. We'll be right back with Shelley.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Let's welcome now financial consultant and commentator, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going?
Bill, so far it's going very, very well, but it's only Tuesday.
There you go. Let's open the phone line, Shelley, right away.
That's
at 790-2040. We do take occasional calls during Shelley's segment, but today we'd like our listeners to weigh in with any kind of questions they have about Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and what we've heard so much on the campaign trail, something that people call Medicare for All.
Yeah, Bill, we spent the whole segment last week talking about it and making everybody expert in 10 minutes on a subject that probably could take hours and hours wasn't doable. But something unusual happened after the show, and then I got several phone calls.
Yeah, you said you got them in the car. You were driving away from the station. A couple of people wanted to know, had questions right away.
Right, so I thought it might be useful to do a little bit of a deeper dive today, especially around something that's not necessarily centered around Medicare for All, but is a very important component of today's Medicare, which is Medicare Advantage. People don't really know it exists, even though now that we're in open enrollment, and that's going to continue now until the end of the first week in December, you know, you're seeing ads on TV and listening to ads on radio and probably getting lots of stuff in the mail,
yes,
if you're over 65, about these plans, which are actually formally called Medicare Part C. So Part A, everybody who's on Medicare has, and Part B is the private doctors and that kind of service that you get. Part C is this Medicare Advantage set of plans, which is offered by insurance companies, private insurance companies. And what they do is they replace
mm-hmm.
Parts A and B
uh-huh.
with their service so that you get all of your insurance, your health care insurance, through that insurance company. And Medicare will then pay the insurance company. Usually they simply take it out of your Social Security, just as they take out Part B today. And so for those people interested in getting services that exceed those of normal Medicare Part A and Part B, Medicare Advantage, for in Arizona at least, for no additional premium, will give you a set of services and that exceed in many ways what you get from Part A and Part B. And so you say, well, wait a second. If this is doing more than Medicare does, there's got to be a rub somewhere. You don't get nothing for nothing, as we say in Brooklyn, right?
Right.
So what happens is with Medicare Advantage is that you have to choose, in order to get the rates that they offer, you have to choose from their network of doctors. And so it works more like an HMO than a PPO. And you need to get referrals to specialists from your primary care physician. So if you're somebody who doesn't mind that kind of restrictiveness, and if you can find a plan where your own doctors are mostly on it, this is something worth looking at. During open enrollment, if you qualify if you're a new Medicare recipient or you meet other conditions, it can't be denied you. There's no underwriting that process.
Pre-existing conditions.
If you're in terminal cancer or you have end stage, renal disease, you won't get it. But
like if you're in hospice or something,
right, yeah. Right. but for most people, especially during this open enrollment period, you can get it. Now, what's interesting is only about 20% of Medicare recipients choose Medicare Advantage plans, and I presume that to be because, people like the freedom to choose any doctor who takes Medicare, and with many of these plans, if you go out of state, you're out of network.
You're out of the system.
Right, you're out of the system. And so there are some restrictions.
Excuse me, Shelley, I do want to give the phone number. I don't know if I gave it right at the beginning, and I should have. 790-2040, 790-2040. Shelley can take a question or two if you would like to give us a call about that. What about a plan that covers virtually everything? Is there such a plan?
Well, interestingly, this year in Arizona, the Medicare Advantage plans have been expanded to include vision and some vision and dental services. They charge a small increment for that, so that's a bit of an extra charge. But yes, even that is now being covered in Arizona by several of the insurers. So if you're in Medicare, if you're feeling that you'd like to have some options, it's something to look at. It's not for everybody because there are some restrictions, but it's a set of options that you don't normally have. And when I think of what we talked about last week, which is Medicare for All, and just think about how universal medical insurance could be implemented over a period of time, it seems to me that the Medicare Advantage framework or that that paradigm or model is one that could work well alongside with Medicare so that you have a public option and a private option, but it's all being financed through the same overall umbrella of Medicare. Now, that said, Medicare, we know, is in some financial difficulty. We know that it needs to be bailed out. We know that, especially with all the baby boomers retiring, turning 65, and also living longer.
10,000 a day.
I know.
are turning 65 right, and joining the ranks of the baby boomers.
Yeah, and so we know that Medicare, if left to just the contributions through payroll deductions, would not be self-sustaining. So there are some problems with Medicare, even if there were no other changes. But it is something that people universally like. I mean, the polling on Medicare is in the 80s of people who are favorable toward it. And there's that famous, I think it was in the 2012 election, or it might have been the 2008 election, where a woman said, "Keep your government hands off my Medicare." Nobody bothered to tell her that. Guess what?
Yeah.
That's a government program.
Yeah.
Are there possibilities for abuse? Are there possibilities where private insurance companies may be charging too much or not doing everything that they possibly could in the service of the public? Sure, nothing's perfect. Bureaucracies being bureaucracies are going to, need to be watched over. But that's something Medicare Part C or Medicare Advantage. Now, the other thing we didn't talk much about are what we call Medicare supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have regular Medicare, you're only covered up to a certain amount, 80% typically, and that's being overly general, but that's pretty much what you're covered for. The rest is up to you. And so the question is, can you buy personal insurance to supplement that Medicare basic basic services? And the answer is yes, you can.
Is it expensive?
It is, or it can be. So it comes in several flavors. There's, you know, Medicare Supplement Lite, let's call it parts A and B, or supplements A and B. And then there's, as you go down the alphabet, they become more and more comprehensive.
Like long-term even?
No, long-term care isn't medical care. Long-term care is custodial care.
Okay.
But you can typically buy up in these supplement programs to almost 100% coverage. And it's based, the charges are based on your underwriting health. So they are based, and you can be denied, by the way.
Do you need a physical?
Very often. Mm-hmm. They will look at your physical, they will look at your health background. Once you're in the plan, you can't be thrown out.
Mm.
But they can raise your price.
Wow.
So, in fact, I just tell tales out of school. When I turned 65, I started off with a Medicare supplement F, which is in Arizona, the best you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like $110 a month or something like that. And I thought that was pretty reasonable. And within 4 years, it had gone up to over $200 a month. So I signed up for Medicare Advantage. So you got to be a little bit careful with that. But there are options if you're on, you know, if you're in Medicare, in the Medicare system, you should know what your options are. And this is just so important to people who, you know, face something bureaucratic like Medicare and figure, well, I'll just do the basic, let it ride. Getting educated on this kind of set of options is so important as you get older. To get good advice from somebody you trust. These things can be bought online. They can be bought through the mail. They can be bought through the AARP. And there's just ways that you can buy stuff that's better than what you get for free.
All right, Shelley Fishman. Thank you, Shell. I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. And I want to tell everybody about we are the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios here. And Green Things, our go-to, oh my goodness, the poinsettias, 25,000 that they raise throughout the year in their greenhouses over at 3384 East River Road. So there is plenty to choose from. Great color selection. Check it out. Green Things by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And they're also home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise. Much of it is hand-carved, beautiful things in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Additional support comes from Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Randy Sereglio is with me in studio, Southwest conservation advocate for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. As I recall, speaking of Silver City, the original home for the Center for Biological Diversity was Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico.
Yes, it was. That's where it all started.
Were you over there at all at that time or no?
No, that was before my time, but I got more involved when they moved the headquarters here to Tucson.
Yeah, but that is a beautiful area.
Yeah, amazing.
The Gila National Wilderness and the whole thing over there.
It's a national treasure.
It really is. For more information, go to southwestnewmexico.org, the complete listing. And I mean, they've got great recreation opportunities over there, including the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. And you'll find great places to stay as well over in Silver City. Randy, it's good to see you. We haven't had you on in a while, and so much has happened. I first heard about Rosemont, I think, back in 2007. This is probably what Judge Soto did, the U.S. District Judge here, with his ruling, turning back the request from Toronto, Canada-based Hud Bay Minerals to vacate or amend his July 31st ruling that overturned the U.S. Forest Service approval of $1.9 billion. They're saying that project is worth. But he basically overturned it, and then he did not go along with Hud Bay's. This was not a formal appeal, but it was kind of maybe a backdoor approach.
It's a procedural move. It's a request for reconsideration of his decision.
And the judge said no.
Yeah, I mean, it's only in really extenuating circumstances would that ever be honored or granted. So then the clock started ticking for them to actually file a real appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they have until just before the end of the year to get that done.
You expect that's happening.
Well,
or
yeah, I mean, you never know.
We don't know.
I mean, this is
the whole ball game has pretty much changed here, hasn't it, Randy?
Yeah, you know, this really overturns the apple cart and kind of sets it on fire to boot in terms of mining on public land. Judge Soto essentially said in a sweeping precedent, no, you don't have a right to dump your toxic waste on thousands of acres of national forests that belong to the American people. Even though they own an ore body adjacent to that area. So, and, you know, Judge Soto was very clear that it's a matter of law and that the 1872 mining law has been consistently misinterpreted and misapplied by the Forest Service for many years now.
The Ninth Circuit, now, if there is this appeal, and again, the deadline from HUDBAY will be December the 27th, the Ninth Circuit could take up to 18 to 24 months to rule on the case. That's what some of the experts are saying. But we keep hearing this date now of the year 2024 before HUDBAY is deciding to do anything. Has this whole thing been pushed back that far?
They recently had an investor call that made some media, and, you know, HUDBAY Mining Company continues to mine investors even when they're not able to mine copper here in southern Arizona. They have to keep a brave face and talk up their game still. So, you know, they're saying, oh, we could resume in 2023, but I mean, what they're really saying is we're legally prevented from doing anything until probably at least then, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about this situation is that not all of these eggs are in one basket. There were five different lawsuits in play before Judge Soto, and he only ruled on one aspect of all those legal claims.
So are you saying there are other shoes that could fall?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And other shoes could drop in between now and the time when the Ninth Circuit rules on the appeal. So we have a very strong case that this mine proposal would destroy thousands of acres of jaguar critical habitat. That's federally designated habitat. That's critically important for the recovery and survival of jaguars in the United States. And we know for sure that El Jefe, the famous jaguar, lived out there, right at ground zero of Rosemont for 3 years.
The images are there, on film, right?
Yeah, he was photographed almost 150 times
Out
there.
Yeah.
So
that's still outstanding.
That's a very strong case.
One of the five that you talked about.
He has not ruled on that yet. We also have a case against the Army Corps of Engineers for issuing a Clean Water Act permit. And that's a particularly egregious situation there, where for years they said there was no way they could legally permit this. And then a certain guy got elected to the White House, and all of a sudden they did a big flip-flop and said, oh, guess what? We're just going to go ahead and rubber stamp this anyway. So we have a very strong case against that permit as well. So regardless of what happens before the Ninth Circuit on the Forest Service case, we're still holding some very good cards here.
Do those go before Judge Soto as well?
Yeah, all of these cases were consolidated under the same judge. It makes it a lot easier on the judicial system. There's just no duplication of efforts and that sort of thing. So, you know, Judge Soto could issue more rulings at any time.
Could HUDBAY say we've just decided this isn't worth it to us and sell to another mineral company?
Well, if they were smart, they would bail out. I mean, at a certain point, this company's going to have to decide whether it's a good idea to continue throwing good money after bad to try to push this proposal through. There are so many problems with this mining proposal. I mean, the devastation to our wild places and our beautiful scenic mountains, which are such a huge driver of our economy here in southern Arizona, way more than mining. It dwarfs the impact of mining. And the threat to our water supply in Tucson is really kind of paramount. I mean, every day we see new information about how tenuous our water security
is.
Yeah,
the Star had a wonderful two-part series about some of our surrounding suburbs of Tucson. I think the water table's dropped 5 to 7 years over the last 20 to 30 years.
Well, in some of those places, it's dropping 7 feet per year.
7 feet per year,
yeah,
that's right.
And so you cannot continue to mine groundwater like that and expect it to always be there in the future. This is water that was laid down thousands of years ago. And, you know, the way it happens is you get a lot more rain and snow in places like the Santa Rita Mountains. It percolates down into the aquifer and it flows down into the Tucson Basin.
Isn't HUDBAY involved with some water pipeline?
Yeah, they've done
in
various.
In Green Valley?
They're trying to do some three-card Monty to say, okay, well, we're going to recharge water way over here, even though it's not really going to, you know, affect the Tucson Basin.
You wonder if that work's now going to continue.
Yeah, well, that's up in the air, too.
Let's take a quick call, Randy. 790-2040. David wants to make a quick comment. Go ahead, David. I'm really tight on time.
Mike, I was going to thank you for getting the pygmy owl listed in 97 because right in 97, that's when the urban development in the northwest area started to pick up really bad. And at the same time, they passed Senate Bill 1130, tax code reconfiguration, to hit maybe a huge tax increase to pay the bill for all this development. And my taxes jumped from 1,200 to 1,500. Well, same year you got the pygmy owl listed, and that put the brakes on the sprawl. And my taxes leveled off, didn't go up anymore until 10 years later, pygmy owl got delisted. And you wouldn't believe how much my taxes went up. And I went from 1,500 to over 5,000 just a few years.
Pygmy owl?
Well, you know, that that cute little bird is, I think, pretty soon going to get relisted. It'll regain the protection it had. It won't directly be affected by Rosemont. It lives in a different part of the desert, but many other species would be, including Chiricahua leopard frogs and our native fish that have taken so much damage over the years. So many of our water resources.
Some of those native fish down in the Oregon Pipe area.
Yes, yes.
We were just talking about the top of the program. All right, Randy Seraglio, gotta go. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. There's so much going on at the Fox Tucson Theater, our great sponsor for our twice-monthly Arts Report, the Fox presenting Latin Grammy-winning all-female ensemble Flor de Tololache on Saturday, November 23rd. Joining this great group will be the Villalobos Brothers. So that's going to be a great concert. Great seats still available to see that show Saturday, November 23rd. Then on Thursday, the 5th of December, Fox presents Kip Moore in concert. The onstage live performance, fans are invited to hang on tight as Kip Moore takes the audience on a ride, swerving from deeply intimate ballads one moment to rowdy, high-energy favorites the next. It's Kip Moore at the Fox Tucson Theater, December 5th. And also coming will be the Asleep at the Wheel Merry Texas Christmas Show. That's something we can look forward to at the Fox. For more information and tickets, please visit foxtucson.com. Dan Gibson is with us from Visit Tucson. That ought to be interesting. Asleep at the Wheel, Dan Gibson. Merry Texas Christmas.
Feels like a lost opportunity not to call it Merry Texmas to me, to be honest. I just feel like that would have been a good call. They can use it. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm not holding on to it. They can Merry Texmas. Just throwing that out there.
Well, there must.
But yeah, no, Sleep at the Wheel are great. They're an incredible band. It's totally worth seeing. It's the sort of high quality entertainment you get at the Fox for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if it's one of those groups. And you were recently in Austin, Texas. That's based there in Austin.
They are. Yeah, yeah. Sleep at the Wheel. They've been around forever, but like recorded with everyone. Vince Gill feels like most predominantly. But yeah, if you enjoy Western Swing, if you enjoy fun at all, Asleep at the Wheel is worth seeing, but especially if you're a Western Swing fan. And yeah, a Christmas show would be perfect. Seems like a really great opportunity. There's a ton of Christmas holiday stuff coming to the Fox, by all means. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a great
people
season.
Check the calendar.
There you go. What do you got for us on the arts calendar, my friend?
Well, just, you know how dedicated I am to this show, calling from the mean streets of Brentwood, Los Angeles. But I've got an exciting list of opportunities. This Friday through Sunday, you know, it's sneaking up on us, the holiday season. It's already happening. Yep. Tucson Museum of Art is having their annual holiday artisan market. If you have not been, this holiday artisan market is an incredible opportunity to get local artisans, local makers, the perfect sort of Christmas holiday gift. You don't want to give them the same sort of dumb thing from the mall that they're expecting. There are going to be 100 artisans selling handmade and one-of-kind items. There's also beverages to be had and food trucks. That's happening basically all day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. More information at tucsonmuseumofart.org. Speaking of the Tucson Museum of Art, that's a really fun thing happening this Tuesday, coming up on Tuesday, December 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m. They have a night with Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin will not be there, obviously, but it's celebrating the launch of Linda Solomon's book, The Queen Next Door. There'll be performances that's sort of a tribute to Aretha Franklin, a pop-up photo installation, a book signing, and then also a conversation about Aretha's legacy with the author and then a couple other people familiar with her work. It sounds like a heck of a time, and I believe it's free. So
again, when is that?
That's Tuesday, December 3rd, 6 to 8 p.m. Okay. And the Artisan Market is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, this is unusual because Thanksgiving is as close to Christmas as possible this time. Last year, we had a very early Thanksgiving, which kind of lulls everybody. Oh, we've still got 4 or 5 weeks to Christmas. Man, when Thanksgiving hits next Thursday, Christmas is like 3.5 weeks away.
It's coming in hot. You better be prepared with your gifts. And the Artisan Market also Cultivate coming up, I think, in a couple weeks. Take a look out for these local markets. They're really a great opportunity to get something that you keep the money in Tucson, you give the money to somebody who could use it, not some faceless corporation, but also you give somebody a gift that's unique and special and something they'll really treasure. You know, who needs another automated tie rack? I don't. I have plenty.
Or an automated shoe shine machine.
Yeah, no need. Support a local artist. Everyone will be better for it, I think.
What else do you have on your calendar?
Well, you know, if anybody's listened to this segment with me on it before, you know how I love the Center for Creative Photography. I told people they should go see David Hume Kennerly speak when they acquired his archives. He spoke at Centennial Hall. Maybe people didn't listen, but even if you did, you'll want to go tonight, actually, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Center for Creative Photography. They're having CCP Unframed, a look at the David Hume Kennerly archives. He will not be there, but you can see items from the brand new David Kennerly archive, plus other items from the CCP vault. Also, their digital imaging unit will show how they digitize the center's holdings. So they'll be bringing some things out that you haven't seen that aren't part of the regular collection that's on display at the Center for Creative Photography, but also get a behind-the-scenes look at what the work they do there to preserve the sort of great works of American photography.
Photography enthusiasts come from all over the world to visit that venue, the center.
I was just talking about it with a journalist today, right here in Brentwood.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm multifaceted, Bill. You know me. I'm always hustling.
Yeah, what is going on over there in Southern California? On a familiarization tour?
Yeah, it's just me and Cindy Aguilar, the two-thirds of the Visit Tucson PR team, just meeting with people, chatting it up, trying to convince them to write about Tucson. So it's seeming like it's going to go. We actually landed one article before we even left the room yesterday.
Wow.
So far, so good. That Tucson is getting its money's worth with us, I believe.
Well, and is so much of what you talk about are the arts here. I mean, with the center and our Tucson Museum of Art and these other great art venues.
Yeah, it's a big part of, like, I mean, I think it says something about the culture of Tucson, of what people in Southern Arizona treasure, the sort of things that we prioritize. We've talked a lot about the street art lately, and then we've been talking about even making connections with local artists like Danny Martin or Kristen Tova, you know, different people working in that space. So we've been really talking about sort of arts culture, and then a lot about maker culture has come up a ton recently. People, artisans who are making things for sale that are offered in local shops, boutiques, things like that. That's been a big part of the conversation lately.
We talked a little bit with our historian Ken Scoville on the show yesterday, Dan Gibson, about this free event Sunday afternoon from noon to 4 downtown. It's very interesting. The Hotel Congress wrapping up their centennial year and welcoming in a new centennial year will be the Rialto.
Yeah, we had a really great run with Hotel Congress with telling that story. I mean, people are certainly fascinated by it. But yeah, it's come up in the last couple of days, just talking about the Rialto and sort of the legacy of that space from movie theater to different type of movie theater to music venue in the last 20 so years. It's a real asset to our community. And that handoff, I think it says something about the community that Hotel Congress, and I think the Tucson Symphony as well, and Rialto Theater get together to sort of celebrate the thing. So I'm really looking forward to that. They're doing this Cine Mexico tribute at the Rialto, I think, next weekend with different selections from Mexican film plus Sergio Mendoza. So it should be a great year. It's always a great year at the Rialto, but there's the 100th year anniversary. I think they've got a lot up their sleeves.
Yeah, lots going on. That's a free event, again, from noon to, I think it's 4 o'clock. All sorts of activities downtown at Hotel Congress, kind of celebrating their 100th anniversary. So a lot going on in Tucson. I could take one quick one.
I got it. Noel Coward's Blithe Spirit. Everyone loves the dry wit of Noel Coward. It's a really well-reviewed show. Arizona Daily Star called it packed with surprises and promising to lift the spirits, which we could all use. It's the Rogue Theater. Runs through November 24th, but the matinee shows on the 23rd and 24th are already sold out, so keep an eye out. Tickets are $42 general admission. You can go to the roguetheater.org, and it's Theatre, R-E, for more information about that.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. I want to wish you and your lovely family a very happy Thanksgiving. And,
you as well, sir.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Dan.
My pleasure, always.
Dan Gibson with us from Visit Tucson over in Southern California, talking up what he does. He talks up Tucson. Fox Tucson Theater, Our great sponsor for our arts report, for more information and tickets about what they have planned in December, including, I love this, Asleep at the Wheel, the Merry Texas Christmas. That's coming up in December. Go to foxtucson.com. You've got Kip Moore coming to the Fox Tucson Theater on December the 5th. So that's going to be a great show. Also, great seats still available to see Fleur de Toloachi and Villa Lobos Brothers Saturday, November 23rd. Okay, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on, of course, 10:30, the trusted voice in Southern Arizona for news talk in our Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. My thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing the program. I am Bill Buckmaster, back with you 12:04 tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.